Well, good evening and Merry Christmas. It is good to see you all here. Thank you so much for joining with us this Christmas season. For those of you who might not know me, my name is Jonathan. I have the privilege of being the pastor here. And I always look forward to this service. It's such a wonderful time to be able to come together in the Christmas season, right? Christmas is always a very kind of cozy feeling holiday, right? It's the lights, it's the nostalgia, it's the anticipation of Christmas morning and looking forward to all the joy that's there, right? There's this beautiful picture in the darkest time of our year that we set up all these lights, these decorations, and we take time. Right? We all agree it's time to pause, time to stop our regular lives and work and just take time to be with family, spend it with friends, enjoy and celebrate, right? There is something so beautiful about this whole season. It's a season of generosity, right? We spend time specifically looking and giving gifts to one another. There is so much to appreciate about the beauty of this season. And yet sometimes, I think that's partly why the hard parts sometimes feel so much harder, right? We know it should be a beautiful season all the way through, and yet there are still so many parts in which we recognize, oh, it's difficult. Family time that should be just joyful so often is mixed with all manner of unmet expectations, hurt feelings, baggage we carry in. Right, over the last number of weeks, we've been hearing stories, birth stories from people at our various different campuses. You just saw a little summary there of all of them. Right? Birth should be this amazing, beautiful moment in which everything is working out right, and yet we recognize so often there is all manner of problem and pain that's involved. All sorts of medical issues come into play. Even wanting to have kids and not being able to. We heard stories of adoption, foster care, even of those who wanted and yet never were able to have children. Right? These stories are a reminder that sometimes our most joyful times of year or joyful moments in life often carry behind it an unspoken pain and hurt. Sometimes Christmas, in all of its bright, twinkly lights, illuminates pain we've had hidden for quite a while. And so here is the question for us as we take just a few minutes to ponder this season. Why then do we celebrate? Why is this a season of celebration for us? What exactly are we supposed to do with all the parts that don't work out right? Should we just ignore them during this time? Just focus on the good things, forget all the problems that exist, just pretend they're not there for a few days. Hear me, the coping strategy works in one way, but we all know it's a Band-Aid. It doesn't ultimately fix anything. Ignorance doesn't solve problems. And here's where the story of Christmas is so important. Because the story of Christmas is not ultimately about nostalgia, nor sparkling lights, nor presents under the tree. The story of Christmas is not about ignoring the pain and the brokenness in our world. Rather, the story of Christmas is our answer to it. It's the reason why we celebrate. It's not because nothing bad has ever happened. Actually, we celebrate because something greater did. And so if you have a Bible with you, I'll invite you actually to open to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, we're going to read the Christmas story, part of it at least. If you don't have a Bible, it will be on the screen behind me. But we're going to look at the beginning of this Christmas story and see God's answer to the brokenness that exists. It's our tradition here at Central. We stand as we read God's word. So if you're able to, would you stand with me? Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. He came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. You may have a seat. For many of you, this will be a fairly familiar story. Perhaps it's part of your Christmas tradition to read part of the Christmas story and to hear sort of the traditional story that we hear during this time. And maybe it brings forward all manner of nostalgia of growing up. In many ways, we have been talking about these miraculous births. In many ways, Christmas is the story of a miraculous birth. Throughout this season, as we've been getting ready as a church, we've been working through our Bibles at a number of these miraculous birth stories that are in the Old Testament. Abraham and Sarah, they were far too old to have children, and yet God gave them one. Moses shouldn't have actually survived infancy, and yet God provided. Women who were barren couldn't have children, and yet once again, God provided. We've seen sort of this pattern of how God has been working, providing these miraculous births, but ultimately pointing forward to something greater. In many ways, the story of Christmas is the fulfillment of all of these stories. They've been foreshadowing, leading up to this one. In fact, if you have been with us, you've probably seen a number of the patterns even in this text. You have a woman who couldn't have kids on her own. You have an angel showing up, declaring that a child would be born. In fact, even giving them a name, telling what they will do in their lifetime. In fact, even verse 37 there, "For nothing will be impossible with God," that's a quotation from the story of Abraham and Sarah. God's been laying out these breadcrumbs, as it were, all throughout the Old Testament because he wants us to actually see something about this miraculous birth. In fact, all the Bible, the whole thing is really pointing us forward to see something of who Jesus is and what he's going to do. The whole Bible is about Jesus. But of course, as we look at this story, actually, we don't just see the same pattern. Actually, we see there are some things that are different here. There's an increase, an escalation that happens in this story. And so for a few minutes here, I'd like us just to take a look at this story. I want us to see the miracle of Christmas and the invitation of faith. See, the miracle of Christmas that most people think of when they read this story is, well, the virgin birth. I suppose we should say the virgin conception, but let's not get into details, all right? Quite a number of times during this story, we're reminded that Mary, well, isn't married, right? It's pointed out again and again. And for many skeptics, as they've looked at this story, they've said, well, yeah, okay. I mean, we've heard that before. We know how things happen. She's not the first young teenager in trouble who's claimed something like this. We all know what really happened. Maybe that's you here. Maybe you've come along and maybe that's exactly where you've come from, right? You're reading this story and you're thinking to yourself, yeah, I mean, it's a nice story. It's a myth, a story once long ago before they realized, you know, how these things happened. But if that's you, can I ask you, just for a moment, grant me at least the suspension of disbelief for just a moment to ask the question of why are we celebrating this? Why would we celebrate something like this? Certainly it would be interesting, but hardly worthy of global celebration. What exactly is it? And here's where I want us to point to the fact that the miracle of Christmas has far less to do with Mary than you might think. In fact, actually, I'm going to argue the virgin birth is not even the miracle of Christmas that we celebrate. In fact, the miracle of Christmas is that God entered into our world. Verse 31, the angel tells Mary, says, "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High." The miracle of Christmas is not that a virgin conceives, but that God enters our world, that God himself would enter into our world, take on humanity, and be born as a child. Right? This is the God who created all things. In fact, Colossians will say about Jesus, "For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him." The very same God who created all of the cosmos is the one who's born in the manger. The one who created all the planets, the stars, the billions and billions of galaxies, everything down to the molecules, atoms, and whatever is underneath. He is the one who stepped into humanity. This is the God who is eternal in the very real sense of that word, without beginning or end, the one who is all-powerful, the one who is all-knowing, who can see all of time, both past, present, future. This God who is perfect, pure, and good in every conceivable way, infinite in power, and yet becomes this fragile human baby. In many ways, we shouldn't spend our time wondering about a virgin conceiving. If there is truly a God, that would be nothing for him. The wonder of Christmas is that this God entered into our world. That's the miracle of Christmas. God entered into our world as a helpless child, weak, helpless, and frail. That alone is enough for us to stop and actually wonder at this story. Why? Why would God do that? Why would God leave all of the glory of heaven to step into our broken world? In fact, it's exactly because our world is broken that he came. Right? God enters our world not out of boredom or a need for change. He was not growing listless in heaven. Right? That's the very human picture of the gods we create. Rather, God enters into humanity because of his love for us. Not some sort of puppy dog love where he just can't stand to be away from us. The sort of emotionalism that just fades. Rather, a real, genuine, deep, abiding, and sacrificial love compels him to enter into humanity at Christmas. Enter into the brokenness of our world. The whole story of the Bible is about God redeeming us from our sin. Right? Sin is the word the Bible uses to talk about the problems of this world. It's turning away from God, from how he has created us. We have rebelled against him, decided we know what's best. Sin is responsible for the worst acts and atrocities that humanity has committed. We've been hurt by sin in this world. But the Bible tells us actually the brokenness of sin is not merely external, rather it is internal to us. Yes, we've been hurt by others, but shamefully we must admit, and we have hurt as well. We have not always done what is right. We have not always followed even what we know to be right, let alone what God has called us to do. We've rebelled against God, and God warns us there are consequences to our sin. There is a judgment yet to come. We will be held accountable. And so the story of the Bible is really one of people trying to work their way out of this problem. Maybe they can do something to get themselves out of it. And as you read the Bible, you just see people again and again trying and again failing. Like an addict who realizes they just don't have the strength to get out of the addiction of themselves. They need someone outside who can actually help them out. It's the realization we come to in the Bible. We're stuck, enslaved in our sin. We need someone who's outside of that addiction to come and actually help us. And that is the story of Christmas. Someone outside has entered into our world that we might be saved. The miracle of Christmas is God enters into our world precisely because we need a savior. In fact, that's what the name Jesus means. God saves. The angel is not simply announcing what to call him, but rather what he would do. This child would be God himself who would save us from our sins. Why did God enter the world? Because of his love for us. He enters into this world, takes on humanity for the very purpose of being weak, of being able to die. God enters humanity to lay down his life for humanity, born a human so that he could die for humans, pay the price, the infinite debt of our sin. The miracle of Christmas is not just that the virgin conceived, it is that God loved us so much he would send Jesus to die for us. As Beverly wonderfully reminded us of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. It was the love of God that sent Jesus into this world, not to condemn, but to save. The miracle of Christmas is the miraculous love of God for sinners like us. So here's the thing. If this is all just a myth, if it's all just a creative story, it means nothing. It means we have no hope. Worse, it means there is no hope. What would we do with our guilt? What would we do with our sin? What would we do with our brokenness and pain? We have no true answer. Many have tried to give it, and yet none have come up with it. But if Jesus really did come, and he did, if Jesus or if God really entered our world, and he did, we actually have a hope and a promise of what is yet to come. We have a reason to celebrate this Christmas because the darkness and the pain and the brokenness of this world is not what will ultimately win. Rather, Jesus went to the cross so that we might have a hope and a future with him. For everyone who believes, everyone who would trust the work of Jesus, we celebrate God's love this Christmas. God would take on humanity that we could be saved. And so here is really the invitation we have before us. It's the invitation of faith. Mary here gives us a beautiful example of what that looks like. Mary would have been a young woman, probably a teenager even at this time, and yet her faith is an example for all of us. Right? Faith, I know, seems like a very churchy kind of word, and yet really, we all exercise faith all the time. You get in your car, you are trusting that it's going to take you, that it's going to work, take you where you need to go. We have faith in our phones, our friends, our family. All of that is faith. So often we think that faith is just blind. And yet Mary here shows us that's hardly the case. She's asking questions because she doesn't understand what's going on. Mary only says two things in this passage. And the first one in verse 34 is a question. How is this going to be? You can understand her confusion. You've told me a lot of things are about to happen. How on earth is that going to be the case? God doesn't rebuke her for that. It's not a lack of faith. Rather, she's trying to understand. Hear me, it is not a problem to come and ask questions. How else would you learn? How else would you know more? Faith depends on our understanding. If you want to know more about who Jesus is, who God is, why we trust the Bible, ask questions. But ultimately, faith is about trust. And really, that's what we see Mary do. Verse 38, Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Mary's faith in this moment is really what's so incredible. Well, I'm sure she still has worries about what is yet to come. She doesn't know the future. She doesn't know what's going to happen. She knows this will probably be a very difficult chapter. People are going to ostracize her. They're not going to believe her. She will be put very much on the outside of most of her community. And yet, what is she trusting? Well, she's trusting God's promises. She's trusting that God is going to take care of her even through this challenge, even through this difficulty. Mary shows us what it looks like to trust God at his word. The benefit for us is we actually get to see the bigger picture. We get to see why is it that we can trust God. We get to see what his promises fully are in Jesus. The whole reason for him being born into this world, born without sin, lived so he could take our place and take our punishment for us. Jesus went to the cross to die for our sins so that anyone who would trust in him would be forgiven. The Bible gives us that promise. 1 John writes, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is the promise of forgiveness for all who would trust in Jesus. Our sins are forgiven. This is what we celebrate at Christmas. This is why we rejoice. It's because God entered into this world so that we could be saved. And this is the invitation for all of us today. If you don't hear it anywhere else this year, please hear it now. Here's your invitation to come, to put your trust in Jesus Christ, to confess your sins, turn away from them, and rather trust in him for our forgiveness. God's promises are good. This is why we celebrate at Christmas, because Jesus came that we might be saved. If you want to know more about it, I want you to come talk with me. Come talk with someone you know. We'd love to help you understand this more. Take those steps of faith. We celebrate Christmas because God came to us that we might be saved. Let me invite you, enter into the joy of Christmas, the birth of Jesus who died for our sins. Let's pray. Oh, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this season. Lord, we thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus. Thank you for the love that you have for us, sinful, broken people. Lord, we confess we have not done what is right. Lord, we have missed the mark again and again. And yet, Lord, you set your love upon us to send Jesus at Christmas, to be born a fragile child, to grow so that he might die in our place. Father, we have not deserved such love, such grace or mercy. Father, we trust in your promises, in the promise of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. Help us to live in light of the joy of Christmas. We ask these things in your name. Amen.